So boundaries in relationships. I like to say that boundaries is a spectrum disorder, okay? In the sense that we're all on a different place in how we set relational boundaries in our lives. There may be the extreme situation where the person, we just close off our lives and we build walls and we just say, you know, my safe space, these are my boundaries. I'm not going to let anything hurt me. I'm going to protect myself and I'm going to seclude myself. Self-care. Self-care is good, but self-care can also just be a brick wall that we build. All right, so that's like one end of the spectrum. The other one is like just no boundaries. You know, we're touching everything and we're, you know, just trying to solve every problem we can in the world. We're trying to do everything. Anytime someone asks for help, we're there, and just over time it's unsustainable and we just can't do it all and things fall apart. And you know what happens then? We get super resentful. And then we become the person that builds up all the walls. So boundaries, something that we need to consider. We have a joke in our family. It's called the too close lady. She was at Starbucks one time. That's one of my favorite places in the world. I like to say that I have offices all over the world. Anyway, there was one time at one of my favorite Starbucks that there was a lady. You know how they have where you pick up your Starbucks drink if you order a special one? I usually just do short coffees. I don't spend that much. And there's free refills if you stay there for hours and hours and hours. So you can even switch from a coffee to an iced coffee to an iced tea to a hot tea, all just for free. Anyway, but now they're not open anymore. Who knows what's going to happen in the Starbucks world? But anyway, this lady was at the table where they set out your Starbucks drinks, you know, what you specially ordered, and she was leaning on the counter. It was a high table, all these drinks. And she started to pass everybody's drinks out as they came to her. And I'm like, man, that is the too close lady, you know? Like, she is just, like, right up there. She needs just to step back and let people grab their own drinks. You know, this was pre-COVID-19, but how even especially now? Then there was a time I was in line at McDonald's. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been to McDonald's? Have you ever been in line somewhere and there's a person, like, breathing down your neck? And you're standing there, and you're like, I felt something on the hair of my chinny chin chin. Who is it? You know, and then you're like, okay, I'll just move up one step. And then you feel them move up another step. And you're like, this is, I can't fix this. I thought of also, like, so we feel that boundary being crossed. I've probably thought that what I've discovered in my life, I'm 44 years old, so I'm, you know, entering the second half of life. And one thing that I've learned is one of the most powerful boundaries in our society. You know what it is? The bowling alley line. You know that line that you're not supposed to cross when you bowl? I've just seen like kids, like some kids that are like rolling on the ground at a bowling alley, but they come up to that line, they're like, boop. You know, that line is just such a powerful, powerful line. I remember when I was a kid and I thought, like, if my bowling shoe goes over and onto that really glossy wooden floor, you know, the world will end. Powerful little line, isn't it? All right. I'm just going to move my mic here because I think I'm making a little bit too much noise. I love these things. It's great. I love technology, but not as much as you see. But I still love technology. And I can't get this clip. It's not even technology. Oh, my goodness. All right, we got it. So I want to talk about one thing this morning. I don't have any scriptures on the screen, so you're going to have to listen to me, and I'll try to be extra clear as I read these things. I'm reading from a Bible translation that probably none of you have. It's legit, okay? But it's called the Kingdom New Testament, and I'm going to read. It has some good language. It's a little bit British. So there might be some colloquialisms in there that we don't quite understand as Americans. But I'm a Canadian, so I get it. All right. Matthew 18, verse 15. I don't know if you're like a one-and-done sermon person. Is that how you are? Like sit there, do it, walk away. That was awesome, and then never revisit it. I'd probably say majority of people are like that, but if you're like a note taker, you want to write these down and read them later for yourself, I'll try to be sensitive to you as well, okay? So Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, Jesus says this, if another disciple sins against you, go and have it out, just between the two of you alone. If they listen to you, you've won back a brother or sister. I just want to deal with that one line. That's my one aim here in this message. The idea that if another disciple sins against you, go and have it out just between the two of you alone. A part of being Christians, which is so great to see celebrated in this room with the different flags and how we have what's called the Great Commission. Jesus saying, go into all the world. Go and make disciples, teaching them how to obey everything that he's commanded. That's kind of what we're here for, is to learn how to follow Jesus' commands. And this, guess what, is a command of Jesus. This is one of the things that we need to learn. But do you find that this is kind of a difficult one? It's like if you have something wrong, you know, someone's wronged you, there's just so many other options besides actually going and talking to the person about it. But I believe, and I'm not a doomsday prophet whatsoever, I'm overly optimistic and enthusiastic. I got to be a part of the little prayer meeting they had here before all this happened, and Doug was praying for me, and he said, God, we pray that you'd fill Chris with enthusiasm. Actually, God, I think he already has quite enough of that. Anyway, it's kind of funny. I'm not a doomsday prophet at all, but I do believe that these next few months, July, August, September, October, are extremely important for Christians. And this is not a political advertisement in the least. So get that out of your head. This is about Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not. We are entering into a few month time period where it is so important that Christians are Christians. Like really important. Because what's going on right now in society, there's a lot of good things happening and there's some other things happening. And as Christians, we have to stick together throughout it as brothers and sisters in our Lord. And this is one of the things that are going to keep us sticking together, is if we feel that someone has wronged us, that we go and we talk to them, just the two alone, and start there. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that that's like something that we need to maybe you're already perfect in this, then you're better than me. But maybe we just need to tighten some things up and have some things refocused in our minds and at the forefront, and saying that in the midst of whatever is going on in the chaos, this is one of the things that's going to give me some order and stability and wisdom and a foundation to move forward on. So it's a guardrail. All right, so let's talk about like practical how to use this tool. I realize I'm probably preaching to the choir, so if I'm saying stuff you're like, Chris, we already know that, then I apologize, okay? But I'm going to talk to you like you basically know nothing, because that's how preachers are supposed to act, right? No, just kidding. All right, let's get going. The first question is, okay, I've been wronged by somebody. Here's the first question. Should I go to them? Should I? The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4, I almost said the Apostle Paul. Then you're like, false prophet. He's reading from Peter, but he said the Apostle Paul. We know he was not a man of God. I knew it. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4, and Peter says this, verse 7. The end of all things is upon us. You must keep sober then and self-disciplined for your prayers. Above all, here's an above all. You like above all statements in the Bible? Like there's sometimes a hierarchy of what you do first. Listen to this. Above all, remember, it's an above all. Keep absolutely firm in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Could you imagine life is that if every time someone did something wrong to you, you went and talked to them about it? I mean, we'd have our schedules filled with one-on-one showdowns. Well, you did this. Well, you did this. And you know, like that would be our church activity for the week. And we'd have time slots. Maybe you could duel it out here. The default setting as a Christian is this idea of just love. Love covers a multitude of sin. It's like, you know what? That kind of made me feel this way, or that was that. But you know what? I'm going to get over that. I don't need to talk about that. I can keep going. So I think that's a bit of a default setting. Now, once again, I don't know who you are, so I'm not wanting to give you false doctrine. Okay, I don't want to encourage you, because it is possible that you're somebody that just throws everything under the carpet. Oh, love covers a multitude of sin until I've had it. Then I uncover, I take the love carpet off of all that sin, and there it all is. And now you're going to get it. You know, if love has covered a multitude of sin, then it is dealt with. You've made that choice to not talk about it. And that is sometimes a choice that we make because we understand that we're all flawed. We're all frail. And we all need each other's mercy. All right? So that's one way to do it. Should I talk to the person? This is not a venting session. Like, I just need to get this off my chest. Here's the one thing I always say. Well, that was a good segue. Anyway, I just need to get this off my chest. Here's something that I usually say when I give a message or a sermon on this topic, and it's this. If you have had bitterness, resentment, hatred, and anger towards somebody, do not go and talk to them about it after this sermon. This isn't a venting session. It's not, oh man, I got to get things right. Someone sinned against me and I was so angry about them. So then I'm going to, you know, give that friend a call. We're going to get together, maybe out in the foyer over here. And we get together and I say, I just have something I need to share with you. Oh, what's that? For the past 25 years, I've hated your guts. Would you forgive me? Because just everything about you has annoyed me for decades. Actually, from the time I first met you to this present day, I've been cursing you under my breath. And would you forgive me? Do not do that. I just heard from a friend recently that a number of years ago I gave this message, and someone who heard me say all of that still went up to my friend and said, I've hated you forever. For reals. And he was like, weren't you just listening to what Pastor Chris said? It was the only thing he said not to do. And you did. No, he was thinking that. And he had to. Anyway, forget it. It's a vicious cycle. So we're not going to do that. Here's what we avoid when we actually go and talk to people about things. If we go and we talk personally to them first. Number one, we avoid ghosting. See, I'm being relevant to the millennials and the Z Nation and all that. You know, I'm like the millennials, the ghosting. And that means, have you ever had a relationship where they've just left you unread on your messages? It's like it's just gone. They're gone. Like it was someone who you would throw something out there in a text and nothing ever came back, like ever. And they're just gone out of your life. I want to say that this is me, not the Lord. Okay? I'll say this. I think that's cowardly to do. I think we owe it to people to talk to them if there's some sort of thing in our life where we need to have some time apart or whatever it is. This also avoids, well, here's one, gossip, slander, and misrepresentation. Isn't it just easier to gossip about stuff? I don't know if you have these same definitions that I do, but here's how I work through it. Gossip is talking with someone about something that they have nothing to do with solving it. Slander is untrue things or half-true things about people that misrepresent who they truly are. It's just easier to do that stuff. See you later, Jesus. We don't need your commands. We got an easier way. The problem with these easier ways is that they're just so dang destructive, and they destroy relationships, families, communities, and societies. But if you're able to talk about things and work it through, then you have real strength and health. My notes are basically, I can't even read them myself. But anyway, so if I pause, it's not for dramatic effect. It's that I'm trying to see what I wrote. How about this one? It also avoids, if we actually talk to people about things, it avoids for us to be manipulated by empathy. I know this is a difficult one maybe to understand, but empathy is a really good thing. But if we're just living on like the road of empathy, then sometimes we don't deal with the real issues that are at hand and have the tough conversations. And sometimes people gain power over us through strength and wealth and, you know, and grab a hold of us that way and push us around that way. But I think we've probably all experienced some relationship in our life where someone has used their own suffering and their own plight to manipulate you into certain actions. And then it went on and on and on, and then you realized at the end of it, wait a minute, wait a minute. So actually talking about things. Also talking about things avoids, we talked about this already, like resentment building in someone's life. If we're someone that always says, oh, it's okay, 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 if we're just always like that, that just builds up all unresolved, unchecked issues until finally we become corrupted by our resentment towards, like, man, that person always does that to me. And then maybe we ghost, we cut off, we cancel, we do whatever. But there's a part of, like, if you, I'm speaking to myself right here, okay? I'm saying you, but I mean me, but just pretend that you're me when I say you. Do you got that? So I'll say this. When you are resentful, you need to deal with that inside of yourself and before God. That's a you issue, not a someone else issue. Now, it doesn't mean that with the suffering and things that you've gone through is inconsequential and meaningless and was okay to happen. No, 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 no. But I've heard it put like this before, is that probably the greatest challenge in life is to not be corrupted by the things that you suffer. Do not let yourself be corrupted by the things that you suffer, because we will all suffer in varying degrees. And I know that's helped me a lot. So I've come up with a thing, probably my wife wouldn't fully agree with you that I do this, but in my own little world, I think that I have a personal zero tolerance policy for resentment in my heart. Like I do, I just don't want, because I know how that poisons and corrupts. So sometimes you don't just sit on something, you go and you talk to the person humbly about it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And that is sometimes the wisdom that our culture needs, because, oh my goodness, I was a frog in the kettle with this idea that all we needed to do was understand and be okay with everything. But I've learned in my own life that it's not okay to be okay with everything. What the human being needs, the redemption a human being needs, well, we'll talk about that at the end. Okay. Teaser right there. All right. Okay, we're almost wrapping up here. Here's a couple more things I wanted to say. When you are talking to somebody about something, you go to the person just by yourself, be specific. It's when somebody has sinned against you. It's a specific thing. It's not getting together with someone saying, you know what, I just think your humor stinks. You know, I just think that you're just a proud person. I think that you're just whatever. Christians, brothers and sisters here today, you are susceptible to that kind of manipulation because you're humble and you care. You're willing to admit your sin. You want to be transformed. That's like the Christian gig. But if it's just general accusations against you, your first inclination might be, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Did I say like that like a Canadian? Because I am Canadian. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But then it's like, well, what are you saying sorry for? What are you apologizing for? So sometimes if you're on the receiving end of someone coming to you, you need to help that person along and say this. Could you be specific? I really can't. Overgeneralizations are not helpful to me. I want to be able to deal with the issue at hand. How I sinned against you, please be specific with me. And I would even say this. This is Chris, not the Lord. Okay, so take it for what it's worth. Not much. This, if someone is just being generalizations about you, I don't think you need to listen to that. You can ask questions. Could you be more specific? But don't let generalizations make you feel guilty and apologize for something you've never done. And that's the next point. When you're on the receiving end, this is tough, I know. Just be very cautious about apologizing for things that you've never done. Our culture is filled with that right now. Canada, I'm so used to this, is that people, especially people in power, will apologize freely for things they never did. I apologize on behalf of blah, blah, blah. But the same people refuse to apologize for the things that they did personally. We live in a backwards, upside-down culture right now where virtue has just gone like, here's virtue, let's turn it inside out and upside down and, you know. So apologize when you've done something wrong. But overgeneralizations, and if you haven't done a specific thing wrong, I don't think you need to apologize. That may be controversial, but bring that to the Lord later. All right. So, if you're someone, this is back on the side of if you're somebody that's been approached. See, Chris Pahalchuk has some faces, and my family, I think, misreads them, but this is my chance to address my family here. They talk about Chris who has his cheek sucked in. Okay, that's when I'm grumpy or sad about something. Oh, your cheeks are sucked in, and it's true, I guess, that when I'm grumpy or sad, my cheeks go in. I wish I didn't have a signal that I gave to everybody like that, but I do, and I can't stop it. But I also get that look when I'm thinking hard about something that I'm trying to get oriented in a certain situation or thought. And some people are like, what's wrong? Or one of my kids will say, what's wrong, Dad? I'm like, actually nothing. I'm just really thinking hard about something right now that I'm not familiar with. So I just brought this before you between you and me alone. Okay, we're just working it through. Just kidding. If you're the person that gets approached, for me, I kind of like can't just fake it and go like, okay, everything's, that's really good. Okay, I repent. I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, I try to do that. But when something is like really surprising to me about something that I did, I didn't realize I did, and I need to own it and I need to wear it, sometimes I need a day, like a mental health day, to get over that, like to orient myself within that new information. So sometimes you're going to feel sad. Sometimes the person you're approaching, they're going to take that into account. But when you've been corrected, you have a choice. You have two choices. You can, and you know that, like you're owning it. You agree this is something you've done wrong. You have two choices, and that is to build up walls and to go back and to just be ashamed. And maybe there's a time period for, you know, stepping back, getting oriented, praying through things, figuring out what, if anything, you can do to make it right. But here's the thing. Over and over again in life, we're either going to be corrected in a good way and for things that we've done, or there are some people out there, and this is why, you know, all this teaching is the context of the church, because if you take this outside the walls of the church, we don't have the same trust agreement as you do within the expectations of a church family to the rest of the world, but I think we can take it in different bits and pieces. But I just want to say this. There are some people out there that want to destroy you. They want to destroy you, your faith. They want to see you fall because they are filled with resentment. And they want to see anyone who aims high for virtue and courageous living, they want to see that you fall just like they did. I think Jesus was getting at that when he said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Because they're going to gobble you up. They're going to devour you. So just a little word of caution there. But when we've been corrected or we've been wronged, the only answer there is in life, you know what it is to stand back up again. To make yourself vulnerable again to existence, to the world, to the church, to society. But when you stand back up again, you're just a little less naive than you were before. And you realize more about yourself and more about how people treat you. And every time you come back out and you stand back up again and you make yourself vulnerable to the people around you, guess what happened? You just got stronger. And the image of Christ is being more fully formed in you. Here's my conclusion. Here are my boundaries for Christians. Are you ready? You ready for these boundaries for Christians? It's really simple, really quick, and we're done. I've got three things with a fourth bonus. I like three. Preachers like three. It's like one, two, three. 3 points starting with the letter Z. That's the best sermon. But here are the three things. Boundaries for Christians. Being thankful for all things. This will protect you in life. When things get overwhelmed, when you feel you've been mistreated, when there are things that you don't know what to do, when you're overwhelmed, there's too much, you can't handle it. The setting, default setting for Christians is this: I'm going to give thanks to all things to God. And you know, I think I know maybe one of the reasons why that is. Because if God was like, okay, that's not how God talks. But if God was like, okay, so maybe there are some things that are evil and happened to you that maybe you shouldn't be thankful for because they're the results of human rebellion and evil. So I'll just let you figure that out. You know, you can say thank you to me for the things that you think are from me and say no thank you to the things you aren't from me. Man, we'd be lost, wouldn't we? The Bible shows that over and over again, that some of the most difficult things that happen to human beings, get them in the right place at the right time for God to use them. So I just think we just do that. Boundary number one, I'm thankful for all things, Lord. I don't feel like I'm thankful, but I'm thankful. And I'm going to just learn to be thankful. Number two, generosity. Be generous. Sometimes generosity, we've been generous before and it feels like it's been taken advantage of or, you know, whatever it is. But we need to stand back up again, a little less naive, a little more wise. And now continue to be generous. Don't just hoard it in. And the third thing is forgiveness. That's what's awesome about Christianity and approaching someone who's wronged us, is that there's this mutual expectation that we're supposed to forgive each other. That is very cool. And then the fourth bonus one is just this, perseverance. Do not give up. Don't be corrupted by the things that you suffer. Don't say things are too hard, I can't go any longer, because God knows that through his strength you can. And it's often when we're on the brink of giving up that the best things happen in our lives. Let's pray, and I'll call the worship team up. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for the commands of Jesus that we have in the Bible that we are supposed to learn how to obey and fulfill. Thank you for giving us just such practical wisdom that when we feel that we've been wronged and we believe it's important that we can go and talk to that other person. And Lord, we know there are so many easy ways that we can deal with it that are far less healthy. Help us to not email, to not text, to not Snapchat, but help us to pick up the phone, get together in person, and have those difficult conversations as they're needed. Lord, show us where on the spectrum we are in our boundaries, and help us to become oriented in a very healthy place in our relationships with others, within the church, and within the world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.